Our first reading from Ruth chapter 4 and our first of the triptych that we are doing this morning is Ruth 4, verses 1 through 6. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. And if you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know. For there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "Well, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be God.
You know, one of the interesting things about naming children and the whole process of doing that, you kind of go through this cycle where you and your spouse throw out a bunch of names to each other and you listen to it and you think, well, that sounds kind of nice. And then you give another suggestion and your wife sort of goes, well, that's all right. But inevitably, as you're going through this cycle, one of you will send out a name to which the others will just shudder in revulsion. The name immediately conjures up either someone that you knew and that you have not good associations with, and you can't imagine naming your child this person's name for the fear that this person who used to annoy you to no end, that person's character would become the character of your own child, and you would spend the rest of your life having your child annoy you to death. Because we do this, don't we? We tie people's character into their name. You might not have realized that that practice is extremely biblical. In the Bible, as we've been learning, as we've been going through Ruth, is that names, especially for the Hebrews, are markers of people's essential character. And think of the irony that we've seen when the man named Elimelech, whose name means "My God is King," ends up absconding from the land of the king, running away from Israel, because there's a famine in Bethlehem. There's no bread in Bethlehem, a name which means house of bread. And of course, when we meet Boaz, Boaz means most likely strength and quick, as Boaz has the strength to redeem Naomi and Ruth, but he also does it quickly. The passage that we just read here from Ruth 4 happens the day after, the very day after Ruth and Boaz's rendezvous at the threshing floor. And the names of the characters in Ruth also add emotional freight to the story. We see that Naomi means pleasant and lovely, which is how she is when she departs from Moab. But when she returns, she tells everyone to call her Mara, bitter, because she has a stale taste of death in her mouth. And her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, who we only meet for only one purpose, to know that they die. Their names mean basically sickness and failing, which kind of makes you think, why did they just name them prosperity and health, and they probably would still be alive? But they add to the story. But that's why when we come to this section here in chapter 4, and we find out what happens is that everything in this story, everything that we have been reading and learning about Ruth and Boaz and God's providence for them, hinges on this story right here. Because now this man comes who's the first in line, and can redeem Naomi, redeem Ruth. And if he decides to do that, to buy Naomi's land and redeem that and become into a marriage with Ruth, then the love story that we've been hearing about is over. And the scheming of Boaz and Naomi is done. And God's apparent providence turns out to be just mere coincidence. And so much resides on the decision of this one man. And yet, we do not know his name. In fact, if you see in verse 1 here where Boaz says, "Hey, friend, come into the circle, sit down here." That's just a generic word in the Hebrew. It's the same as if he said, hey man, or hey buddy. It's just no name. You know, the Bruce Waltke, the Old Testament scholar, this is how he translates that, Mr. No Name. That's how he translates it. So why does this man who holds all the power in this story not get his name told? Mainly because he's too concerned that you would remember it. When Mr. No Name first hears about Boaz and Boaz's proposition about Naomi's land, that he can purchase and redeem it, he's all in. He knows that Naomi is past childbearing age, so he's thinking, well, if I just buy this land, eventually it's going to forfeit to me because Naomi is not going to have any children, and so my children are going to take this land. Sounds like good business. But once he learns about Ruth and realizes that, well, Ruth's going to have children of her own, Mr. No Name takes a second look. You see what he does in verse 6, if you want to look down there. Basically, he looks over his financial portfolio, runs a quick risk analysis, and concludes that he might damage his retirement bottom line. That his own kids might not make it if he buys this land. They're not going to have enough money in his name. His own name is going to go out and be gone. You see what he's trying to do? He's trying to protect his own legacy. It seems what's just practical and wise. But ironically, when the story of Ruth gets retold and finally written down, no one seems to really remember who Mr. No Name was. He simply vanished and became, hey, yeah, dude, that man, whatever he was, that guy who was unwilling to pay the price to redeem Ruth. Now, in verse 6 here, in verse 7, or sorry, 5 and 6, it does seem a bit odd to our modern ears that Ruth is being seemingly tied into and bought like a part of the back 40 in the town square here. But remember that in this time and place, in this culture, the Goel, the Redeemer, is actually doing an act of great care. Because it's a rescue of those who have no means to rescue themselves. See, Boaz is not buying furniture. He's paying what he must pay so that he can first bring Ruth material wealth, so she doesn't have to glean in the fields anymore, but also emotional wholeness, to bring Ruth and Naomi stability, security for the future, hopefully children, those to give an inheritance to, and but also someone who's eager to have her, to know her, to be in relationship with her, to marry her. But also spiritual health. Because being married to Boaz means that Ruth is completely and permanently woven into the people of God. She becomes, in fact, an integral part of the lineage of David. And by the way, all the way down to Jesus. So you see, Mr. No Name, he was not willing to pay the price to give those things to Naomi and to Ruth. And certainly to Ruth. To give her material and emotional and spiritual wholeness and strength. He wanted that for himself in his own line, and thus, in the paradox of God's kingdom, he lost it. And it should remind us of Jesus' own words, that whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And those words, at least for me, but should always give us pause, that we would never forget that we are eternal beings, and that our actions are never limited to the immediate and the physical, but they go on before us and before others and either draw us up to heaven or down to hell. That we might be those who are willing to pay the cost to be part of the rescue and the redemption of others, to bring them, like Boaz brought Ruth, material, emotional, and spiritual wealth and wholeness. That we'd be willing to risk our names and our legacies in a holy risk so that we might find our names once again in the presence of the one who is named I Am, the one who was and is and ever will be, the keeper of all covenants, the Redeemer of all men. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.